Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is Judaism from Within, the podcast where we develop the approach of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Right now, his work Chorev, and more specifically, Chukim, those principles of justice, laws that fall under the category of justice, but unlike Mishpatim, where I understand why they are a reflection of justice because I am a human and I engage with another person as another human, Chukim, those principles of justice, are inaccessible. For example, it's not stealing, because I know what it means to own property and lose property. It's about our relationship with things that we don't have direct access to. The nature of my soul. The nature of my ultimate purpose. The environment. Laws of intimacy where I can't stand apart from them and say, I know why it is unjust to engage in this action. There are principles I'm missing. But from our understanding of the Torah, the prophets, and the tradition, Rav Hirsch pieces together potential reasons, taking into account the relationship between these concepts and the overall goal of Judaism. So when we talk about chukim, and as we discussed last week, forbidden foods, how they come together to express principles of justice. This week we're discussing modesty. Now, for Rav Hirsch and his understanding of modesty, once again, it's a chayk. Meaning, he thinks it's based off principles of justice, but they're not obvious. My freedom ends where your face begins. What I dress is nothing to do with you. How I act, what I say, should have nothing to do with you unless I'm entering into your space. Why, for Rav Hirsch, would the Torah demand laws of how we should dress and how we should speak, and what are they and what principle are they based off? And that is what we're going to do today. We're going to lay out the roadmap, which is Rav Hirsch's principle, where he feels these ideas emerge from, how they play themselves out in what we wear, how we speak, and lastly, how we wash our hands. Now, washing your hands is going to sound strange, but Rav Hirsch really brings it all together quite beautifully in the contrast between a mikveh in its relationship to purity and impurity, and washing your hands after waking up in the morning. Okay, so that's the goal. We're going to discuss modesty. Now, what does Rav Hirsch understand as being the principle? Well, the principle of modesty, a concept that is essential for being a Jew, in the language of the prophets, it is an identifying marker of a Jew, to walk modestly with our God. Rav Hirsch looks at it as the relationship between the soul, the higher self, and the mammal aspect of our being, to put it into such a different language. There's a work by a famous philosopher called Ian McGilchrist, a philosopher, I think he's from Scotland, who wrote a book called The Master and His Emissary. And I think this is a great metaphor for our concept today. The master, this was in neuroscience and the relationship between different hemispheres, but it works really well here. The master is the soul. The master is the mind. The emissary is the body. The body is that which is used by the mind to engage in this world. The master is that spirit, the breath of God. The mammal side is the taken from the dust, that which we share with the rest of the animal kingdom. These two are essential for accomplishing our mission in the world, which is why we are here. We are here for a purpose. And Rav Hirsch understands our ability to live out our mission is in unison of both the master and its emissary. The emissary is as essential. You cannot accomplish your mission in this world without the emissary. But the master should know its place, and the emissary should know its place. The master being the mind, the emissary being the body, being that mammal side of our being. The one that acts in the world, the one that engages in the world, but the action and the engagement in the world should always be inspired by the mind. Now, we obviously don't leave every aspect of our life consciously, but that really is what comes into play here. Parts of us that we share with the animal kingdom, instincts or the need to eat, the need to pass waste, the need to sleep, these are not conscious completely, they're necessary as part of our mammalian character. And that's why the need for the prominence of the mind in these situations becomes obvious. Why do we wash our hands before we eat, after going to the bathroom, when waking up? For Rav Hirsch, this is essential because we're leaning into the master, we're leaning into the mental side in a situation where the body is taking prominence, in a place where we are engaging in actions that we share with the rest of the animal world. So to build this up, Rav Hirsch understands that when you act in the world, you have to remind ourselves constantly that the master takes prominence, that the mind, the soul, is what is instructing, what is giving direction to the body. And when there is a possibility or a danger of those roles being mixed, a statement has to be made. A position has to be taken. So, for example, if we go back to the very beginning. The very beginning where the Torah discusses modesty is in the context of war. Now, this is another prominent idea for Rav Hirsch. When Rav Hirsch sees the Torah talking about a situation in an extreme circumstance, be it selling an Evered Ivri in Mishpatim, or selling one's daughter in a situation of poverty, Rav Hirsch points out that when we are engaging in the world with people that the rest of society puts to one side, marginalizes the poor or the criminal, and the Torah tells us that we, in this specific situation, have to promote dignity and worth and value, where everyone else doesn't. That is telling us that in this situation you have to, how much more so in every other situation where everyone else does as well, meaning the poor and the criminal deserve dignity, respect, equality. In Parshas Mishpatim, when we discuss war, where everyone else says, well, morality is silent during war, or there are different rules when it comes to war, the Torah emphasizes, the prophets emphasizes, Moshe tells us that when we go to war, our excrement, when we go to the bathroom, has to be outside the camp, because God is in your camp, even at war. At war, that mammal side, which is necessary, going to the bathroom, passing waste, we have to do it. It's part of our lives. But it's supposed to be done privately. It's supposed to be done outside the camp. That law is the first position of modesty in the Torah. The importance of modesty that you take that mammal side of yourself and you don't display it in front of other people. At war, how much more so in regular life? So that first point of recognizing you have an animal side, you have that mammal part of your existence, and if it's in sync with the mind, then it's holy like the mind, but there's a danger to it, that you will slip into the role of the mammal, you will slip and allow the mammal to take prominence. So how do we dress? Rav Hirsch says, well, we dress in a way that promotes the mind. What is displayed? The face and the hands. Those are the two parts of our body that are the messengers of the mind. Once again, the emissary. You engage in the world with your mouth, your face, your hands. Those are the things that are the direct agents of the mind, and those are displayed. So Rav Hirsch points out, interestingly enough, when it comes to a man, the mind, he's conquering the world with his hands. He's engaging in the world with his mind, but there is a danger there of arrogance, thereby in his relationship to God. God, who is metaphorically and conceptually above us, a man wears a head covering. A man wears a head covering as a sign of modesty in relationship to God. It's a bit of a side point in terms of why we wear a kapel or a yarmulke, but the point being that when we engage in the world, we display the parts that are the emissary of the mind. So, the first point, we're talking about the master and his emissary, the importance of recognizing that the mind should be prominent and the mammal side should not be, but it is essential, it is an emissary to the world. Okay, that's the first point, how we dress, how we act. Now Rav Hirsch talks about, well, what brings us back from the abyss? What brings us back when we've leaned too deeply into the mammal side? And we know this in our own experience, when we engage in the mammal side, that the mammalian part of us, it threatens to take over. We know people who engage in things that bring pleasure, be it them addictions, obsessions, and the mammal side becomes prominent in their character, and that has ramifications in how they act to people, but also has detrimental effects on their lives. What draws us back? And this is where Rav Hirsch brings in the concept of shame. Now, perhaps shame is a bit of a triggering word for people, but call it conscience. That part of you that when you are not living up to your values calls you back. Says, this isn't in line with my true self. This isn't in line with who I want to be. This isn't in line with my mission in this world. And it draws you back from the abyss. That's the role of shame. That's the role of conscience. And just as a side point, Rav Hirsch says that in the Garden of Eden, the story that begins it all, he rejects any notion of original sin. Man was not cursed for the sin. Man didn't become lesser. Free will wasn't invented post the sin. absurdity of saying you're commanded without free will, for Hirsch is the antithesis of Judaism, but shame too. He said they were made explicitly aware of shame, but shame was part of the makeup of the human being because it is that which draws you back from leaning too closely into your animal, your mammal side. Once again, both are essential, but one should be the master and one should be the emissary. So, to our 2 points so far, we spoke about the idea of the principle, the mind being prominent, the body being the messenger in the world. What should be displayed from a point of view of modesty as a principle? A man should not walk around with his biceps bulging. Why? Because, well, that's his mammal side. There's no problem with working out, but if you're displaying an aspect of yourself that really leans into the mammal, then there's something wrong. There is a danger there that you will lose track of what is the master and what is the emissary. The master is the mind, the emissary is the body. How we dress, how we act, the relationship between a yarmulke and your relationship to God, and the need for humility. And then the idea of shame or conscience. And Rav Hirsch says, what withers away conscience? What damages conscience? What makes us insensitive? Desensitizes us to our mammal side, to our conscience. He says, nivelpeh, bad language, crass ways of speaking. People who speak in a crass way, they lose their shame. People say to someone, when you speak like that, do you have no shame? That is because they look at the shame being withered away. Speaking in a crass, inappropriate way constantly, you wither away your shame. You make yourself insensitive. That's what draws people, the sense of conscience draws you away from the abyss. And if you wither that away, you no longer experience shame. And then to perhaps wrap it all up. So we've spoken about what we wear, we've spoken about what we say. Now, we spoke about at the beginning that when you're engaging in things that are part of the natural world, they lean into your mammal side, they're necessary. You sleep, you eat, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands afterwards. Now, Rav Hirsch here points out that it is actually the opposite of a mikveh. A mikveh, what is, without going into exactly what impurity is, I would recommend you listen to some of the earlier podcasts on impurity, but impurity is reminding yourself of your natural state. You engage in, you touch a dead body. It brings over the impression of determinism, of the natural path of everything, that everything dies, everything goes to an end of death. And that runs the risk of losing your belief or commitment to the freedom of your pure self, let's say. And a mikveh, what is a mikveh? It's that primordial water you immerse yourself in that has no bearing of anything, no bearing of man, no, it's like the most natural state. That's why you can't collect the water for a mikveh. There's a certain natural refreshment that it's supposed to bring onto a person to draw them back from this deterministic framework. Now, when it comes to washing your hands after going to the bathroom, the whole point is to remind yourself of your higher self, to remind yourself of your mind. That's why it specifically has to be in a vessel, has to be in a kli. For Rav Hirsch, this parallel works beautifully, because when you go to the bathroom or when you wake up, you want to remind yourself or bring back to the forefront of your mind the master, and that is through active work of raising up your hands through commitment with a vessel that has been created by the mind. And thereby you have that interesting relationship between a mikveh and simple netilas yadayim. So, we've discussed modesty. We spoke about the principle that Rav Hirsch believes it all emerges from. The master, the soul, the breath of God, the emissary, the mammal, the dust of the earth, that which we share, both have the potential, if they are in sync, to be holy and sanctified. But there is a danger if the emissary becomes the master, that's what we call immodest. But what saves you from that? Your conscience. Shame. It draws you back when you are not living in line with your values. And then what withers away? Nivel means to wither away. What withers away shame and conscience? Crass language. Inappropriate way of speaking. Once again, there's its relationship to modesty. And then lastly, we spoke about washing our hands. And how when we go to sleep, or when we go to the bathroom, or when we eat something that we share with the animal kingdom, we sanctify it. We remind ourselves of our human side, of the master, of the mind, of the soul. And through that, we raise our hands, al netilas yadayim, commitment to our higher purpose, but we do it with a vessel, a kli, something that has been formed by man. As always, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for your attention. Have a wonderful week.